Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Crossroads. We're glad you're with us, and I want to invite you to take out your teaching outlines now, and we could be seated as we are continuing this message series through the Ten Commandments, and we're actually at the Fifth Commandment today, and I know that when it comes to the Fifth Commandment, some children don't like the Fifth Commandment, because the Fifth Commandment is we're told by God to honor our parents, to honor our mother and father. And usually when it comes to this commandment, I have to warn you, a lot of people think it's irrelevant. And there's two reasons why. First, some people think it's irrelevant. Well, I already honor my parents. I love my parents. I've had a good home, and I've done what I'm supposed to do, whether you're still in the home or your parents are you're older or they're home with the Lord now, whatever it might be. This really isn't relevant to me. And then there are those who you may have had a terrible upbringing and you had no relationship with your parents. You couldn't wait to get out. In fact, the only thing you got when you were 18 was a kick in the pants to get out. And so, you know, the Fifth Commandment might seem like, you know what, let's just go on to another commandment. I don't want to talk about the Fifth Commandment. But like the other ones, if you've been with us and if you haven't, you got to get these messages and listen to them online. These commandments are a lot more than just the words, as we've been digging deep and looking at the meaning of each of these Ten Commandments. And so we've titled this message series, Resurgence, because these commandments possess the ability and the power to cause a resurgence in your character, in your Christ-likeness, in your walk with God, in your home, in your relationships, in just about every area of your life. The Ten Commandments have the unique ability, because they are the words of God, to breathe life into you and where you are right now. And so as we talk about the Ten Commandments, first things first, you got to understand the context of it. The Ten Commandments were given by God audibly first to the children of Israel approximately 90 days after the crossing of the Red Sea. Now, how many of you, prior to hearing me talk about the crossing of the Red Sea, how many of you heard about that before, Moses taking the Israelites through the Red Sea? Okay, that's an event that if you polled Americans, you polled people around the world, even in different religions, people have a knowledge of what God did for the children of Israel. And so God parts the Red Sea, a miraculous statement of his love. He has them cross the Red Sea, protects them from the Egyptians after being in bondage for 400 years. And as about 3 months go by, God knows. He sees the people's hearts. And remember, God sees our heart. You know, we can fake a lot of people out. You can't fake God out. God sees the heart. The Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. And God knew the heart of his people, and God knew that his people needed these commandments. But often, whether it was then or now, there's some misconceptions about these Ten Commandments. And so right in your outline, if you have your program with you, we invite you to follow along. You know, why do we do this? It's not because I need it up here. It's so that you could take this with you through the week. You know, there's a few people in our church who have been here. There's a number of people been here from the very beginning of the church. But there's a few select people who, with the exception of vacation or a 50th anniversary or they're out of town somewhere, there's a few people that have every one of my message notes. They got more message notes than I got. Okay? And so these are for you. The scripture's on here so you can follow along. And so this becomes very important. So to this morning, I want you to write this first answer down. What the Ten Commandments are not, so we're all on the same page. The Ten Commandments are not the Ten Proposals of God. Okay? God isn't making these things up as he goes. You know, let me propose this to you. It's not a suggestion. It's not a proposal. God has a deeper intent for these commandments. It's not, well, if you can get to it, you know, I'm going to propose this to you, and maybe if it fits your life. No, it does fit your life. It's the Word of God. The Bible says about itself that the Word will not come back void. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. You know, we live in a culture, as I've told you before, that's biblically illiterate. Some people think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, okay? Yeah, think about that for a second. Some people think the epistles in the New Testament are the apostles' wives, okay? I mean, it's just how people are. I mean, it's crazy to think about how much the Bible is suppressed. It's suppressed in schools. It's even suppressed in churches. People would much rather be entertained, much rather laugh and joke around, and rather than hear the Word of God. You know, as you study the Bible's actually funny. If you've been with me long enough, you'll know that. Some people think when you read the Gospels, you got to put on a face of constipation, as if you're constipated. But a lot of times when Jesus spoke, he was funny. Like when he said, casting pearls before swine, the disciples were holding their stomach going, Lord, you're killing us. That was funny to them in their culture. And so you don't have to pretend humor and interject humor in. The Bible's filled with verses and stories that actually bring a smile to your face, because the Bible says laughter's medicine for the bones. So God understands those things. So these are not the 10 proposals. They're much more divine than that. What they are is, write this down. And I like this one here. I like this one out of all the ones we've said so far. These are the 10 principles of God. Think about what a principle is, you know. It's a good compliment when somebody says, you're a man of principle. You're a woman of principle. And what that means, a principle means it's a belief that you stand on, that you're willing to go to the mat for. It's what you are about. Your principles will define who you are 5 and 10 years from now. Now, if you got no principles, well, you know, maybe you really need to listen today. But no matter who you are this morning, myself included, we need to really listen with a diligent ear this morning, because there's never been more of a time in our culture when we need to return to the principles of God. Never been more of a time. You know, when you all you got to do is, you don't even have to hear it from me. All you got to do is listen to the news and hear the things that people debate on. Hear the things that people talk about. You know, it made me sick that it wasn't even 24 hours. The case wasn't even 24 hours old after that horrific shooting that took place in Colorado, when the media was politicizing it. They didn't waste any time. It already became an election issue about gun control. You know, we'll get to that. Right now, we got to deal with parents who have to bury children. That's more important than somebody getting a notch or a check in November. But our society's messed up. It's mixed up because we have forgotten that these Ten Commandments that we're learning, they're written in stone in Washington. We forgot that. And so there are lots of liberal lawmakers that would love to see that taken out. They want to see God rubbed out of schools altogether. And last thing we want is for the children to hear about God. But maybe they do need to hear about God. And let me give you, I don't have time because I got to go into the verses, but this is just a few things of why we need to protect our children with the principles of God. Here's just a few things. Parents were outraged in Pennsylvania schools. Some of you educators who love the Lord, you will not like this. Nobody's going to like this. In Pennsylvania schools, parents were outraged. They're filing a lawsuit because the schools, without permission of the parents, had gynecological exams done to 6th and 7th grade girls without their parents' notice. Children were so afraid as this was going on, as they were climbing out of second-story windows to get away. In Massachusetts, parents filed a lawsuit to stop schools from installing vending machines with condoms in elementary schools. Elementary schools. We just did the sports camp at an elementary school. That means where the 5-year-olds, that was our youngest kids, and even my son was going helping out, where they go to dry their hands, right next to it could be one of those machines. We need God's principles, don't we? And this is just two things. In Rochester, we keep going. Parents filed legal action against the school system because they were teaching kids how to use those, what they are promoting as safe sex devices. 6th graders. And so we need to have the voice of God. And some of you might go, you could talk about SCX in church. Why not? God created it. Not Dr. Phil, not Oprah, not the world. God created it. And it's better that it's talked about in God's environment. You know what we're going to do? And I'm telling you, we got the school, high school right down the block. It's literally right down the block, Newdorp High School. We, in the months and years to come, and I hope people will go with me, we are going to change the culture of this island. We're going to let kids know there's other options out there. There's other options other than Hollywood. And the reason why is, let's look at, now these are some stats on movies. On cable television, okay, no wonder why we are where we are. out of 100 shows, they did a survey of this, a poll of it, 97 cases of murder, 51 adulteries, 19 seductions, 22 abductions, 45 suicides, 25 counts of prostitution, 31 cases of hanging, 47 violent attacks, some of which were rape on women, 97 scenes of nudity. And no wonder why the average age of a criminal doing murder is 18.1 years old. No wonder why. And so we need the principles of God. And this isn't, you know, let's beat our chest and be Bible thumpers. No, that has nothing to do with it. God's truth is what people need. People need Christ, not because of information and let's have our rules. Remember what I told you. The people of God need to be known for what they're for, not what they're against. People need to know that God's people are for children and care for children, that God's people are for the sanctity of marriage, that God's people are for the sanctity of life. These aren't issues that have to be put on the back burner. These are issues that are still important to the fabric of the American family, of the family around the world. And this is what God's heart beats for. These are just some of the areas. The ultimate area that the heart of God beats for is that people would know the love of his son, Jesus Christ. Because you can't change a culture without Christ. I'm sorry. You can have a bunch of programs. What does our government do? We throw money at everything. That's why we're in the hole we're in. We throw money. We throw money around the world. We're like Daddy Warbucks. Meanwhile, we're sinking in debt. We need to tighten the belt, and it stops with this crazy spending. We need principles of God. And we need to return back to the principles that this country was founded upon, in which God is still leaving the door open. You know, a lot of people hate on America. America is this. You know, go to another country and see how hard it is. We're blessed here. And the believer, the reason why God has such a blessing on this land is that this is indeed, people do call on the name of the Lord here. You know, the media has a lot to do with the version of what our children see and what you and I see. But there is a different story. There's a lot of good that's going on, both in America and out of America. And it's all based on the principles of God. So these Ten Commandments, even though they were written thousands of years ago, they're as if they were written this morning. They're so relevant to what we need today. And so if you believe God's principles are what we need, I just want to make sure I'm in the right church. Can you say amen? Okay, I just want to make sure. Commandments 1 through 4. Back to our regularly scheduled program. Okay. Commandments 1 through 4 deal with worship. We've covered that the last few weeks. Commandments 1 through 4 deal with worship. You can write that down. The worship principles of God. They're not proposals. They're worship. This is how you worship God. You're to have no other God but him. He's to be the center of your life. You're not to take the Lord's name in vain. And that's much more than just the name. It's actually what his name means and stands for. That he's our provider, we're going to live in vain to that. That he's our salvation, we're going to live a life in vain to that? Of course not. That it's much deeper than just G-O-D, that there's a meaning behind the name of God, 19 different special, specific meanings. How do we worship God? And then just last week, going even deeper into that, about finding rest in God. Commandments 1 through 4 deal with our worship with God, how we relate to God, and then it's natural. If that's one track of life, how we relate to God, well, look around you. You can't live life without being around people. And if you're like me and you want to be honest today, how many of you today, you're annoyed by other people, okay? How many of you are sitting next to that person, okay? All right, easy now. All right, easy. Now, okay. Stop. Nobody fighting in the balcony, okay? All right, take it easy. Now, God understands this, and we bat 100, not 1,000, I'm sorry, 100 in this area. I don't know what it is, but we're not good at treating other people the way that God would want us to treat people. And we need to raise the bar, because the best way to share Christ is to show him. You got to be loving. The Bible says love God with all your heart, and it says love your neighbor as yourself. And the last thing is we love ourselves a lot. Okay? I've told you this before. Our problem, you know, a lot of psychologists will go, oh, the reason why little Ray did this was because he don't love himself enough. No, the reason why Ray did this is because he loves himself too much. That's why he does these stupid things. Okay? If I love God more, I wouldn't do that. I never met anybody that said, man, I'm sure glad my nose is big. Or I'm sure glad I'm getting heavier. Nobody ever says those things. We take pride in how we look. The person who's the biggest introvert in the church today, there's a level of pride that you take in yourself, and you should. So the Bible says, just as you're hungry, you feed yourself, you take care of yourself, you should love others as you love yourself. And so commandments 5 through 10, they deal with partnership. Write that down. Partnership. God desires that we would be in partnership, obviously, with him, and we would be in partnership with other people. That is extremely important. And we need to understand that God has a lot to say on this area. Jesus, of course, is the prime example. So no matter who we are, the fifth commandment is relevant to us. But let's go to the fifth commandment right now. It's in your notes, and it's on your screen. And let's just say the first part of it together, okay? And I know it's going to be hard for some of you younger ones to say, but let's say it together. Honor your father and your mother. Here's some teeth grinding, as that said throughout the church, okay? And I'm sure that'll be the case at our later service. Honor your mother and your father. So this is a principle here of God that's the in-between one. It links actually 6 through 10 to commandments 1 through 4. I believe it's actually a combination of both worship and partnership. It's talking about the family. And as I read to you earlier, the statistics and some things that are out there, there's never been more of a time for us to batten down the hatches and return to the principles such as commandment number 5, that we have to return to what God has prescribed for the family. God created it. He created the family. Now, in order to understand this context, we need to look at this verse in the Hebrew in which it was given and obviously in which it was originally written. And so I want to pick apart one word here that is extremely important to the context. And so let's look at the word honor in your notes. And you'll see there's a line, a drop-down arrow. Circle the word honor. That is an extremely important word. That's the key to understanding this fifth commandment. God says, honor your parents, honor your father and your mother. But from God's perspective, as we survey the entire Bible, this is something all of us should be pursuing. We should be pursuing honorable things. And so now let's drop it down to parents. Let's put parents in the spotlight, myself included. You know, it's going to be hard for your children to honor you if you're not living an honorable life. Now, there's different levels of respect. I understand that. You know, providing for your family. You know, some kids think that's a given. You know, how about kids when they're a certain age, they go, I can't wait to get out on my own and get my own place. You never hear a kid say, I can't wait to pay my own gas bill. I can't wait to pay my own electric. No kid ever says that. Can't wait to pay my own water bill. They don't even know. All they know is cable and gas for the car. That's about it. But no, there's other bills too, okay? A lot of us know that a little too well. And so the fifth commandment for parents, if you're a parent here today, God is saying to you is that you need to be living an honorable life. Yes, provide for your kids. That is something God has commanded you to do. And whether you're providing for your children and you're taking care of the home, which is equally important, or you're out in the workplace, which is also important. However it's shaped, you providing for your home is something that's definitely worthy of respect. And children, young people, you need to realize that. And if you're older, you need to realize your parents, they went to great lengths. Some parents have to work 2 jobs and 3 jobs and so forth and on. Some parents are disabled and still working side jobs and whatnot. And so that's a major part of it. And that's more of the occupational side. What about the spiritual side? You know, as parents, we need to be pursuing God. We need to be pursuing the honorable things of God. That is extremely important if our children are going to see it. See, spirituality and the things of God is, yes, it's taught, but when it comes to kids, you know this already, it's more what? Caught. You know, you can't go what? You know, do as I say, but not as I do, okay? You know, if I sit at the table and I'm belching and give me this and giving orders and that like that. Okay, my son's going to do that eventually. You know, 5 years old, he's going to be a malcontent at the table. You know, don't do that and then I'm doing it. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, and then much deeper things. We need to be pursuing God. Because if we're not pursuing God, here's the tougher question. What are we pursuing? What are the things we're pursuing? What are the things that we're really leaving a mark on our children? You know, it's never too late to change. It's never too late to redeem the past by living for God. Don't let anybody tell you different. God could take what could have been bad decisions and a bad life earlier and by you turning your life over to Christ. God could redeem that. So keep that in mind. But honor, oh, amen, yeah. But honor, this is what the word means in Hebrew, okay? It means kabod. Can you say that with me? Kabod, okay? Like a shish kebab, okay? But kabod, okay? A kabod. And it means this. And here's the context now. This is why this is much more than just a plaque you put on a wall or you give to mom and dad, okay? It says this. This is what the word kabod means, the word honor in Hebrew. To be weighty, having depth, not to be shallow. And that's what churches are filled with, right? Shallow people with shallow commitments. One day I'm going to write another book called Excuses, okay? The level of excuses that people give for why they can't live for God is just, it's just crazy. Because it gets back to something we all know is true. The things we want to do, what? We do. We do them, and we do even more than that. You know, when it comes to God, we become extremely shallow. But the word honor means to be full, to have a depth to your character, not to just be window dressing. But that's what a lot of theology teaches people, right? A lot of teachings from the stage in certain churches is all about this, how to look good. And it's all about getting. But true Christianity, true spiritual growth comes from a principle that Jesus actually taught, that Paul, that Dr. Luke records in the book of Acts, that it's better to give than it actually is to receive. And the first thing you give to God is yourself. And so that's what true honor is. And so honor your parents means not to have a shallow commitment. Oh, thanks for putting food on the table. Thanks for wiping my rear end when I couldn't. And thanks for driving me to school. It's much more than that. It's having a deep appreciation. And for everybody, there's a blanket command of God to honor God, not to have a shallow commitment to Him. A shallow commitment to God leads to a shallow life. And a shallow life leads to a very discontent life. And a discontent life will lead you into a sinful life. See, it's a slow progress downward. But if you could choose in your life to say, I'm going to honor God, not just when things go my way, but even when I'm in the valley. I'm going to honor my parents because God has chosen to share His honor with parents. A little bit more here. Let's go on. What else does the Bible say about this? Okay. In Deuteronomy 5:16, you don't have to turn there. It's in your notes. But the commandment was reiterated by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. We see that there. Jump down. In Luke 18:20, you'll notice Jesus mentioned this commandment when He was talking to the rich young ruler who thought He kept all the commandments. Nobody's ever kept all the commandments except Jesus. So it's referenced there. Paul references it in Ephesians chapter 6. And this is an interesting verse here. Allow me to read it to you. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so our job as children is to obey the parental authority that's been put in our life, and that is a main way that we honor. But you know what? There's another section of Scripture that lends a lot of light onto this. Jesus Himself spoke on this commandment. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus actually was speaking on this very commandment. I like to call this Jesus' own commentary on this commandment. So when you study the Old Testament, sometimes it could be a little bit difficult. It can actually be intimidating. Sometimes you can even get a little uncomfortable, like I can't understand it and confused. What's really great is when Jesus or the New Testament speaks on something that's talked about in the Old Testament. And we have that here with the fifth commandment. Jesus actually used this commandment to prove a point. And what He did in the process was He uncovered this word honor and built upon it for us to see what honor really is. And so it's in Matthew chapter 15, and I know you love to hear the Scripture read to you, so just allow me to read this to you. It says, then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, and they said, why do your disciples break the tradition of elders? Well, they're saying they broke a tradition. This was a man-made tradition. You need to know this. For they do not wash their hands when they eat. Rule of thumb, it's okay to you should wash your hands before you eat. But you're not going to go to hell if you don't, okay? They were trying to make this into a command. It wasn't a command. And He answered them. This is what He said. Okay, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded you to honor your father and your mother, and whoever rivals father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he needs not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. And Jesus says this concerning their lack of focus on the fifth commandment. You hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you when he said, the people, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And so what was happening here was there was a tradition that was in the land that said that you don't have to help your parents. This is how you protect your goods. This is how you protect your money and your assets. Just say what you have, that's dedicated to God. Then you don't got to help your parents. This was the actual rabbinical tradition. And I got this out of a different religious tradition writings like the Mishnah. It says, whoever shall say to his father or his mother, anything of mine you might have has already been given to God. Interesting. That was what they said. And what they did was they took this tradition, and this tradition superseded the fifth commandment. And so Jesus is calling them out here. And as we look at the Greek language of this text, and we don't have time to go into it, what Jesus is saying is that there's a lack of responsibility here. And by doing that, you're dishonoring your parents. And so as we look to Exodus chapter 20, and we look at what the Hebrew word is for honor, we look at Jesus's message here in Matthew chapter 15, and we come up with a true understanding of what really honor is to parents, what honor is to God, and it's the R word, responsibility. So write this down in your notes, this first principle that you could take home with you. Honor is tied, according to Jesus and the Old Testament, honor is tied to responsibility. God has called us to be responsible. We're not just lazy here waiting for our health insurance to kick in. God has called us to be responsible to the people in our immediate circle. And by doing so, we bring honor to God. You know, a lot of people, what they do is they're bound by two things. There are those who are bound by their religion. And in the process, they do not bring honor to God. They're not fulfilling the responsibilities that God has in their walk with him. And then there are those who, what I call are the Holy Spirit junkies, okay? They think that, you know what, everything's the Spirit, but nobody's living in the Spirit. You know, that's the problem. The last time I checked, a movement of the Spirit means you serve God. The last time I checked, the more the Holy Spirit has of you, the more patient you become, the more hospitable you become, the more Christ-like you become, the more desire of prayer you have, the less desire to get your own way, the less desire to have it your way and nobody else. You know, and so as we look at these things, we need to not excuse laziness as a movement of the Spirit. The Spirit has nothing to do with laziness. God's Spirit is diligent, and thank God it is. Thank God he's an on-time God. He's always on time for you and I. And he calls us to be the same way with our responsibility and our commitment to him. He hasn't called us to be fregazy with our commitment, to make excuses. If we're going to truly bring him honor, we're going to honor the people that are in immediate circle and be responsible there, and we're going to truly honor God and put him in the center. That is what God has called us to do, because honor is tied to responsibility. I want to give you a few targets, and you could put that graphic real quick, Matt, up on the screen of a target, okay? This is a target right here, okay? And I want to give you three arrows, three darts that you want to have in your hand. I want you to hit the target of life, okay? The target that God has for you. These are the targets of honoring God, honoring your parents, honoring your family. First things first, love. Bible says if you don't have love, you have nothing, okay? Oh, but slow down, love. A lot of people claim a lot of things. You know, I just don't love them. You know, no, love is highly important, okay? And how do you spell love? T-I-M-E, okay? And so whether it's your parents are older, spending time with them, parents are still within an arm's reach, making sure you're diligent in those areas. What if your parents have gone home to be with the Lord? You know, make the best of the family that's around you. I mean, again, you look at that terrible tragedy that took place. And that's not if the atheists don't understand that there's evil in the world now, yet again, I don't know what's going to get through their noggin. But, you know, you have 12-year-olds and 6-year-olds and boyfriends throwing themselves on top of girlfriends in their 20s dying. If that doesn't send a message that we need to really take inventory and cherish the moments we have with the people that are in our inner circle, realizing that tomorrow is not promised to us. And that's something we should take. That should be a motivating factor. And you know what that'll do? That will stop always focusing on what we don't have and the differences. And we'll focus on the things that God has called us to do and to live for his honor. And so target number one, love. Another area is respect. Respect is key. Respect is the oil in the engine. You know, you need respect. When people feel like they're disrespected, the wheels come off. It irritates a parent to no end. It can irritate a spouse. It can irritate you. It's respect is key. The Bible calls us to that. The way to have a respect for others. And then, of course, provision. God has called us to provide for the people we love. And especially parents. You know, roles reverse. We come into this world, we can't feed ourselves, we can't change ourselves, and our parents are with us from day one taking care of us. As I said earlier, even wiping our rear end, okay? Feeding us, taking care of us, okay? And they don't stop until what? Until they're physically unable to, actually. And so sometimes in certain situations, roles are reversed. And God calls us to do the same for our family and our parents. And sometimes it's appropriate for a parent to be in a facility where they could be cared for a little bit more, 24-hour eyes on them and so forth. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to realize that there is an honor call to this area, and it's provision. And another area is finances. We might be called to bless people that are in our immediate circle and help them. And, of course, that's for God as well. You know, I can't tell you the importance of giving to God more. It's extremely vital to your walk with God that you're giving to God. And you don't need to wait to hit the lotto because guess what? Odds are you're not, okay? Sorry to break that to you, okay? You know, I'm going to hit the Mega Millions. Listen, you have more of a chance to get hit by lightning, actually, okay? Oh, but what about that boy who wanted to scratch you off? Don't worry about the boy that wanted to scratch you off. Stop waiting for the ship to roll in and your pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and you give where you are now to God. And you know what? You might think, oh, yeah, of course they're going to talk about that. The church got to get rich. No, no, no. God's been blessing this church from day one, okay? It's not about soliciting money. Giving is actually an act of worship. It's a partnership principle of life. And if you're going to be stingy with God, you're going to be stingy with the people in your life. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be what? Also, can't separate the two. Money's not evil, but the love of it is. And so God has called us to be generous in such areas. And so it's extremely important that we have a loose grip when it comes to God so we can have a loose grip with the people that are in our immediate circle. Let's stop giving God the leftovers and the lint. And let's give to God from the heart. That's what he's interested in. And that is what makes you hit the target of life. And so honor is tied to responsibility. And then I want to close with this principle. When you take responsibility this way, here is a guarantee. This is a guarantee. Take this to the bank. Write it on the board. Write it on Facebook. Write it wherever you want, okay? Don't write it in the stalls because, you know, we don't want to mess up the church here, okay? But write it somewhere that you don't forget this. Taking responsibility, again, you understand the context of the message, bringing honor to God. Taking responsibility strengthens my relationships. And what relationships do we mean? Your relationship with God and your relationship with others in your life. When you apply this fifth commandment, it actually increases a quality of life. Now, what do people usually think? Oh, it's talking about a quantity of life. That's the promise. No, that's a misinterpretation. As we study this, it's not about long life because plenty of young people have died who were honoring their parents. Does that mean the Bible's not true and they weren't? No, of course it doesn't mean that, okay? That's not what this verse means. It doesn't mean if you honor your parents, you're going to be guaranteed a certain amount of years. Because if that was the case, they would have put a year clause. God would have put a clause in there. Thou shalt live to 80 years old or something like that. It doesn't say that. This is speaking about, let's look at it now. Let's look at the verse, the second part of this commandment. This is the commandment with the promise that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. Now, what was that speaking of? The promised land, that you would enjoy the blessings that have always been foretold of this land, that you would spend whatever days you get, you would spend them connected to me, and those days would be wonderful days. Now, whether that's 10 years, whether that's 20 years, whether that's 50 years, whatever years you get, because you're choosing to bring honor to God by honoring your parents, by honoring God, by honoring those around you, you're going to strengthen your walk with me, God is saying. And those are the blessings. So you're going to have, it's not about a quantity. I tell you, I'd rather have quality years with God than live a lifetime apart from God. I mean, I think I would, who wouldn't sign up for that? I'd rather have 50 good years with God walking with him than 100 years of rebellion and hurt. So the verse, logically, this makes sense now in this light. And of course, as we understand the land and where they were taken and where they are going, God is saying that promised land, you're going to enjoy that if you stop worshiping idols, if you stop living a life in vain. See, that's true Christianity. You know what makes your hair stand up on your arm when you think that God is involved in your life, when he's working in your life? You know when you really feel his presence, when you see confirmations of the things of God happening around you? You stop acting like a flake, you stop living in a box, and you start really following God according to his word. And you sense his presence in your life. No matter what you go through, that's your relationship with him. And he wants you to enjoy that. But as you choose to honor him, you will. You'll experience that more. And you know, my friends, Jesus obeyed this commandment. Jesus, who was perfect. Remember Luke chapter 2? In Luke chapter 2, Jesus' parents were going over for the Passover feast. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year to the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. It was a custom to have their child, in essence, be born into the law, the first five books of the Old Testament. And when the feast ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among the relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. Imagine how that must have felt. You lost the Messiah? I mean, angels came and told you you were going to give birth. And angels told you to move here and go there and watch out for Herod. And you lost the Messiah? Imagine the anxiety Mary and Joseph must have felt. Oh, my goodness. And it says, after these days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard were amazed at his understanding of the answers. And when his parents saw this, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? So in other words, Mary's saying, you gave us a heart attack over here. Think about that conversation with Mary and Joseph. Mary goes to Joseph, and this is how men and women talk, right? Mary goes, where's your boy? I don't know. Aren't you watching him? You know? And Mary goes, well, I thought you were watching him, okay? And so you can imagine this in your head. And so Mary goes, you gave us a coronary here, boy. Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Look at the humanness of these characters here. And he said to them, why are you looking for me? Did I not tell you that I must be about my father's house? Now, that's not with disrespect. He's the Messiah. They know that. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them, okay? Because they, in essence, this is God here. This is Jesus. And notice what it says here. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. This is a teenager who really is God, okay? You know, teenagers think they know everything. This is a teenager who does, okay? You know, teenagers think, you know, mom and dad, you just don't understand. He really could say that. But he was still submissive to his parents. And it says, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. What a joy it was for her son to obey her. Fast forward the clock to the cross. Perhaps no greater sign of loving and honoring your parent than the scene at the cross in John 19:25, with the Lord bearing the sin of the world upon him. with the agony of the beatings that he just took place, that just took place upon him. It says this in John 19:25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister. And then it says this, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that means John, standing nearby to his mother, he said, woman, which in the Greek language, as we transliterate, is a term of endearment, the equivalent of saying, maybe calling your mother sweetheart or sweetie, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, which was John, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. What was Jesus doing? He was making sure, this was a Jewish custom, that his mother was going to be cared for after he was crucified and after he would ascend to the Father in heaven after 40 days. The Son of God taking responsibility. Aren't you glad that Jesus took responsibility for our sin? He took responsibility for you and I. You know, if we, and all we're being asked to do is to just honor him back in return, I think that's a pretty good deal. This is more than religion. This is more than being a Christian flake. This is real Christianity, living for the honor of God because God loved us first. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross and he rose from the dead on the third day. And that's something that should never get old. That's actually something that sobers us up from living for ourselves. And that's something that every man, woman, and child needs to know, which should motivate you to forgive a parent that has hurt you, is because God has forgiven you. And I know that in a church this size, whether it's this service or the next, there are some who have been abused by a parent. And I can't pretend to know how that feels. But maybe that was you. And you know what? You're going to say, I can't believe, finally a preacher said this, some things are humanly impossible to forgive. And that's one of them. Yeah, you may have gotten wrong counsel. I don't care how many counseling sessions you have. It's humanly impossible. You can't do it on your own. You're going to need the mercy of God to move on. I mean, it's just a fact here. I don't care what sessions you need God's mercy to go forward. And you might never be able to release that on this side of heaven. But the truth is you do have a loving Father in heaven who has loved you so much that he took his son and had him killed for you and for me. And so honor your mother and your father. God has called us to a place of responsibility in this life because he was responsible for us. The heart of the gospel is that God is responsible. He took sin upon him on the cross through his son. Jesus was judged for you and I. We are called to be responsible now in this life, to be responsible with our time, our talents, and our treasures, so that one day when you stand before God, you'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. The last thing you want to hear is terrible job, lazy servant. We need to be serving God with all our heart, and that starts in the home. You don't need to get on a plane and go overseas to serve. Start in your own home right now and serve the people in your inner circle right now, and that brings honor to God. And don't have a shallow commitment. What do we mean by that? When the going gets tough, you get going. People do that all the time. When the going gets tough, they run from church. No, when the going gets tough, you need to run to church. And you need to run to be around the people of God, because the people of God are going to hold your arms up when you can't lift your arms up. And sometimes when you knock down, they're going to be the ones to pull you up. But if you go outside in the world, people are going to kick you down, stay down. And then what's going to happen is you're going to go from being knocked down to laying down. And when you're laying down, you're not going to have the desire to pray and seek the things of God. But everybody gets knocked down. But by the grace of God, you could get back up. That's what God does in your life. And God took responsibility so much so that not only did he die on the cross for our sins through his son, Jesus Christ, Christ ascended to the right hand in heaven. And he's there now interceding on our behalf, not only hearing our confession, but hearing the concerns of our heart. And so whether you were abused as a child, God wants you to cry out to him. Whether you had a rocky relationship with your parent, you never got to say goodbye properly. Listen, there's no Leave It to Beaver homes here on earth. Let's be honest. There's no perfect home. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect situation. And maybe you were a model son or daughter, and God bless you for that. And maybe there was lost time for you. Listen, let's just push all that to the side here. That's not what this is about. We're not here to line up trophies and awards. What we are here to do is to look forward to the cross and to live our life in a way that honors God and make the best of whatever time we have in this life with the people we love. That is true Christianity. That's truly appreciating what Christ did for you on the cross. That is what the heart of God is all about. Let us take responsibility for the things of God, and by doing so, we will bring honor to God. Now, I want to leave you with this word of benediction for you before we pray and receive the offering and have the announcements in the closing song. This is what the Apostle Paul said. If you're a little weary right now, for whatever area of life, not just parenting or being a son or daughter to somebody, but just in general, when the road gets a little tough and you feel like surrendering the responsibilities that you're supposed to be walking in, if you're drifting a little bit right now and you're not following, you're being a little shallow and you're not deep right now in your commitment to God and you're letting excuses get in the way, let the words of the Apostle Paul encourage you. It says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith. And when you get tired, remember that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. If you believe that, say amen. Let's give honor to God now and pray and seek his face. Our Father and our God, we seek you today. We want to seek first your kingdom, not our kingdom. We don't want to seek you second and third and then have our hand out for more. We want to seek you first above all else. We want to stop sitting on the sidelines and be committed to you. We want to be committed to you first in heart. We want our heart to be yours. We want our heart to be for the things that your heart beats for. We don't want to just come in here and play church. We want to be the church. And we want our hands to be committed to you. We want our hands to bring honor and praise to you. And we want all the hours of the days we have left to be lived for your honor. If there's somebody we need to reconcile with, God, give us the mercy to do so. If somebody has hurt us and they've died and they're not here anymore, give us the mercy to go forward and the grace to go forward, God. For those who have been hurt a lot by their parents or people who are like their parents or whatever it may be, God, I just pray for, and Lord, we know it says in your word that your grace binds up the brokenhearted. Lord, we know that you are sensitive and compassionate towards our hurt. You're not cold and calculated. You don't just tell us to say a prayer and it's all going to be better. You know that for some here today, our heart grieves when the mention of the word parent comes up. We pray for an extra dispensation of your grace, God, in their lives today. And God, may we love our parents. For those of us who have parents who are still here, may we serve our parents knowing that in so doing so, we're serving you. Let us not wait for the coffin to reminisce and to leave it up to would'ves and should'ves and could'ves, but let us serve you now. Lord, let that be the case with all of us, with all the people in our life. Let us not wait for time to run out to realize what we had. Let us love the people we have in our life right now, perhaps even today, making a phone call or just telling a mother, a father, a child, I love you. May we never forget that this life is so quick. David said, teach us to number our days. Lord, we thank you that heaven's coming, but what a joy it is to have our family here. And may we never forsake that blessing from you. And may we realize that you sent your son to die on the cross, that we would be changed people, transformed people, to love in the way you've called us to love. We thank you for the cross and the grace of your son, Jesus Christ. And all we could do is ask for strength moving forward. Give us the strength for this fifth commandment. We want to bring you honor, and we want to take responsibility for the people that are around us. And we sow these prayers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, amen.